reflecting on this gospel, and I'm sure we all could have a story that ties in some way with it. I was remembering back to the spring of 1997, and at that time, I had been a priest for 23 years. I had probably done over 400 funerals and walked with people in grief. Well, in that year, June 25th, 1997, my mom died. A lot of you already know she was a single parent raising me. And obviously, even though I had taken courses in the seminary of death and dying, and I had walked with different people and felt often their pain, still, as you know, when it comes to someone so deep, so close, you know, I had a lot of emotion. We had the funeral on a Saturday, and I celebrated Mass on Sunday with all the people at St. Martha at the various Sunday Masses. And during that time, at one of the Masses, I became pretty emotional, choked up, a lot of deep feeling, and I was able eventually to continue on. After the Mass, people came up to me, and it was interesting. A few people, only a very few, a few came up and said, "Father," they said, "why were you crying? You've always been so positive and told us to be positive. You've always talked about how much you believe in Jesus and see the great love he wants us to see that we have, and that love is even stronger than death. Why were you crying? You should have been happy. Your mom's with God in heaven." I understood what they meant. I knew they meant well. But obviously, there was something missing in that for me. Well, most of the people came up and basically said something like this: "Father, thank you for your tears. Thank you for showing how vulnerable you are. Thank you because we do see you as so positive about life, and yet the emotion of the loss of someone you so deeply love." And many of them said, "Father, you helped me, because at times I thought, I shouldn't be feeling bad or sorrowful for somebody I cared about. They're with God." And you know, sometimes people meaning well say that in the funeral home. And I've even had people sometimes in grief sharing groups. We have one now that's very powerful. But sometimes a few people have apologized. "I know I shouldn't cry for what happened to my husband or what happened to my son months ago. Yes, Lord, I have some belief that they're with you in heaven, and yeah, I apologize for crying." I always say, no need to apologize. And in fact, if we want to look, people say, well, you know, we're supposed to follow Jesus. Well, this story we heard today, I often talk to people about that, and it meant so much to me in my time. Because the reality is, and we'll see this in Jesus as I pull the missal out here to read a couple of the points. What Jesus lived for and what he showed us is the greatest call we have, every one of us, is to love. And if we're going to love deeply, we're going to hurt. But we're just called to love anyway. And Jesus didn't just talk that. You know, him, everything he did. And this story tells us so much about Jesus, how human he was and still is. And how if we're following Jesus, we follow the path of love that calls us to be vulnerable, that may call us to sacrificial love, and to keep on going. Notice, in this gospel, I just want to read a few lines. When the people... The sisters sent word to Jesus saying, you know, they're talking about Lazarus, but this is what they say: "Master, the one you love is ill." Now, in a way, Jesus loved everybody. But we also know that in our own lives, we are called to have a care. But there's going to be people in our own lives. It's how God made us, that there's going to be something even closer. And here, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, when you read, you know, beyond the scriptures, were very close friends with Jesus. He spent a number of times with them. They were like family, his family, right near Jerusalem. And so for him, this wasn't only another reaching out and healing, which he did and did with great love. But now, close friends, the emotional center of Jesus was deep because he loved Lazarus. And then we see later, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Hear this. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how much he loved him. And then Jesus perturbed again is when he comes to the tomb. But saying that, our faith is not meant to be a faith in a stoic Jesus or a statue Jesus. It's a Jesus who, in God's own way, his son, fully human, sharing everything in our lives, sharing our joy, our pain, our struggle, our vulnerability, our death. Jesus immersed in it all. We need to understand that about him, and we also need to understand in our own lives, the greatest call is to love, and rightfully, love can lead to tears. Not to apologize, but as it says in that scripture, see how much you or somebody else deeply loved this person. Yeah, we're not stoic. We're vulnerable. We love. We feel. And Jesus showed us the way. And as we look at that, at all of our lives, in a sense, we're called, because as that story goes on, to feel that grief. But then there's another place where St. Paul in his writing says, we grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have absolutely no hope. We do grieve, not to apologize, and it's real. And any hope or faith that we have isn't meant to skip over the grief, because it's born in love. That's the central call of what it means for us to follow God. And so recognizing that at the same time, there is sadness. And can there be hope through it? Yes. But through it, not jumping over it. And Jesus here in that gospel, maybe what we need to hear for our loved ones and for us, through the sadness, through this separation that feels so final, is Jesus saying to Lazarus in the tomb, Lazarus, come out. Come out. And then he said to the others, untie him and let him go. For us and for our loved ones, through what means to be human, and we all have stories in life, somehow, some way, our God is saying, you're in a tomb. We're sometimes in that tomb of darkness and fear and sadness, understandably. At the same time we weep, Jesus is there to wipe away our tears, but he's also there saying to our loved ones and one day to us, come out. Come out into the fullness of life. When we hear that story about Jesus saying, I'm the resurrection, the life, he's not only talking about life after death. He's clearly talking about life that begins here and now. That whatever we go through, whenever we're down and out, whenever we're hurt and lonely and sad, it's real. At the same time, the Lord is with us in that. He's our companion on the journey. He weeps when we do, and he says over time that we can come out into the light, come out and really believe that love is stronger than death, and come out and in some way help others, as Jesus called the others, untie him. We all can be bound up in so many ways, especially with fear, resentment, hurt, whatever it is, and the Lord wants to set us free. Partially through the help of one another, because we can't do it all on our own. Not even with the Lord. We do it with him and with each other. Finally, there's that passage you all probably know it in Scripture. It's actually in 1 Corinthians, a lot of times done at the wedding, and it's about love. But in the end, it says this. In the end, there are three things that last. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Take a quiet moment, even remembering people. Even if there's an emotion or a tear, that's more than okay, because an expression of love that means so much. God bless you.